Good morning. How many of you excited that Jesus ran out of that grave? Put those paws together and let's thank the worship team. Can we do that? How many of you are thankful you just made it to church? You just got here. I mean, just glad to be alive. Glad to be alive. Well, we certainly want to thank you for coming to church today. And so much going on. Again, the Passion Play is 3 weeks away, and Easter is just around the corner. And we're in the middle of this series called "I Love LA." And how many of you love this city? You would say, "I love the city where I live." The good and the bad, and we're here to make a difference. Amen? And we're in this incredible series. I want you to look inside your bulletin. There's some sermon notes. How many of you normally you take notes? Raise your hand if you take notes. Let me see your hands. I want to see. Okay. How many of you do not take notes? Huh. Okay. It's okay. Whatever helps you or whatever way you learn the best. I think the notes kind of help just keep those things in your mind, and I love to teach. And how many of you can write fast? How many of you can write like fast? So today, I'm just giving you a heads up. I have a lot of material to go through, and I want to get through it all. And the only way that can happen is if you like that. All right, you can't be going, oh, okay, I'm going to write this down like this. No. We don't have time for that today. How many of you can write fast? Okay, so write as fast as you can. I want you to grab that. So I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 23, perhaps the most famous chapter in all of the Bible. Psalm chapter 23, and we've been looking at different icons, and today we're going to look at the valley. Everybody say the valley. And specifically, I want to talk to you about lessons in the valley. Now, when I was studying this last couple of weeks, the Bible, I was shocked to discover how much the Bible has to talk and to teach us about valleys. There's valleys throughout the entire Bible. We, those of us who live in Los Angeles, we live in a city that is full of valleys. To the north, we have Santa Clarita and the Antelope Valley. To the west, we have Simi Valley and Caneo Valley. To the east, we have the San Gabriel Valley and Pomona Valley. And of course, we live in what's called the San Fernando Valley. Close to 2 million people live in the San Fernando Valley. It's made up of many different cities. If the valley, and I've told you this before, if the valley was a city in and of itself, the 2 million people that live in this valley, it would be the fifth largest city in the United States of America. Now, the oldest city in the San Fernando Valley is a city called San Fernando. It was founded in the year 1874, which is 145 years ago. Was anyone here back in those days? You were here when it was founded. I just want to know. And I have a picture that I came across, and this is a picture of the valley. And this is many moons ago. Our best guess is that this photograph was taken around the year 1920. So we're in 2019. It's about 100 years ago. This is what the valley looked like. And the road that you can see is Rinaldi. That's Rinaldi Street, the road that goes right out here. And where the buildings are is down where our old campus used to be, Hillcrest Christian Church, which is now Heritage Christian School, the North Campus, which is the corner. You can see it there in the photograph. That is the corner of Rinaldi and Shoshone. And those houses that are there on the west side are still there. Mr. Kendrick told me it used to be called the Sunshine Ranch. I would have called it the Wind Ranch. But anyway, and as you can see, the valley used to be just a large desert, is all it was. It was a desert. And they figured out a way to get water into the desert. And then the entire valley turned into orange trees, orange groves, and olive trees. And eventually, It became a vast suburb of Los Angeles, of which you and I live today. Now, whenever I think of the valley, I think of Psalm chapter 23, verse 4. Look at this verse, and we're just going to kind of repeating this verse throughout the message. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, topography, everybody say topography, is the study of the shape and features of land surfaces. And topography, and I want you to write this down, it teaches us that you can never be in a valley unless you are positioned between two mountains. That's what makes a valley a valley. Now, we live in the San Fernando Valley, and so to the north, we have what's called the San Gabriel Mountains. To the west, we have the Santa Susana Mountains. To the east, we have the Vertigo Mountains or Verdugo Mountains. And to the south, we have what's called the Santa Monica Mountains. And that's what makes us a valley. So whenever I realize that I'm in a valley, by definition, it means that I have left one mountaintop and I'm on my way to the next mountaintop. Oh, I want to say that to you again because some of you didn't hear that. I said, by definition, whenever I'm find myself in a valley, what it means by definition-wise, it simply means that I left a mountaintop and I'm simply on my way to the next mountaintop. Can someone say amen? Now, in the between part, the valley is where I'm often weighed down. It's in the valley where I often find myself discouraged. It's in the valley where oftentimes life seems to consume me, where I struggle, where life doesn't make sense. It's actually in the valley where at times I begin to question God. And it's critical for you to remember that you can't stop in the valley. You can't quit in the valley. Psalm 23, again, verse 4, he didn't say, even though I walk into the valley. He said, even though I am walking through the valley, he said, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And who is the you? You are with me. Who is the you? The you is God. Write this down. Remember that God is always with you in the valleys. If you remember one thing from this sermon, it's just remember that God is always with you in the valleys. God was with you before you got into the valley. As you entered the valley, God was with you. He's with you right here now in the valley, and God is going to be with you when you exit the valley. I want you to note that your journey is not yet complete. Some of you are in the valley and think that this is your life. This is your journey. No, your journey is not yet complete. Whatever valley you're in, you're not alone. God is with you. There are six great valleys in the Bible. There's actually more, but I only have time, hopefully, to cover six. And in each of these valleys, it's a picture of how God is with us, and this will make sense as we go through them. The first valley, write this down, in the Bible is the Valley of Siddim, S-I-D-D-I-M. Sometimes it's spelled S-I-T-T-I-M, but we're going to use S-I-D-D-I-M's, the Valley of Siddim. And that is the Valley of the Slime Pits, the Valley of the Tar Pits. And if you've ever been over to Israel, there's two main bodies of water. There's the Sea of Galilee, which is up north, but down south is this big body of water called the Dead Sea. It's the lowest spot on the face of the earth, and everything flows into that sea. No life is found in that sea. And to the southern end, just the southern tip of the Dead Sea, are the slime pits, the tar pits. The Valley of Siddim, I want you to write this down, is the exact spot of two cities. It's where the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. You know the story in Genesis 19, God looked down and saw the wickedness of these two cities and said, I'm going to rain down fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And so write this down, the Valley of Siddim is the valley where sin abounds. It represents the valleys in our life where sin resides. It's that place that you don't want anyone to know about. It's that place of shame. That place of despair, that place of addiction, that place of embarrassment, a place where you squandered your last dollar, a place where you turned away from God, a place where you chose the flesh over the things of God, a place where you hit rock bottom. It's the same place the prodigal son found himself in Luke chapter 15 when he was living in a pig pen of sin, a pig pen of shame and disgrace. And yet the Bible says that one day, praise God, he came to his senses. And in Luke chapter 15, verse 18, he cries out, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against you." He came to his senses and he said, "Father, I have sinned against." What he's saying is this: I have sinned against my heavenly Father and I have sinned against you, my earthly Father. The first valley, the valley of sin, is for someone here today that you are at the lowest point of your life. You're in the depths of the valley and you think that everyone has given up on you and you think that no one cares and that no one understands, and you're here today and you think that there's no way out and you think that God doesn't care. I want you to know that God does care and God is there. God knocks on the door of every heart, including yours. He wants to forgive you of your every sin. Not just your little sins, not just your mid-sized sins, but your big sins. He wants you to become his child. He wants you to become his heir. And there's always someone, they're here today, who says, "Well, God could never forgive someone like me. I've messed up too many times." Wrong. You are exactly the person God loves, and you are exactly the person that God desires to write your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I ask you, are you in the valley of Siddim? Are you in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? You need to come to Christ. He's here today waiting on you. Number two, write this down. The valley of Eshkol. Everybody say Eshkol. Now, Eshkol is located on a map just inside. Everybody say inside. Say on the edge. It's just on the inside edge of the promised land. You might know the story of, it's also known as the grapes of Eshkol. You might have heard of that phrase. It comes from Numbers chapter 13, verses 17 to 25. The Israelites had just come to the edge of the promised land, a place called Kadesh Barnea. And the Bible says they sent in 12 spies just to spy out the land and to check it out. And the Bible says that these 12 spies came back with these big, fresh grapes that came from the valley of Eshkol. Eshkol is the place where the Jews had to make, write this down, a life-changing decision. Because it was at the valley of Eshkol they had to decide, are we going to obey God and enter into the promised land, or are we going to disobey God and go back into the wilderness? And so the valley of Eshkol is really the valley of decision. And I just want you to know that every decision you make, you need to know that God is with you in that decision. There are many people here today in the midst of trying to make decisions. Should I get married? Should I not get married? Some of you are making financial decisions. Some of you are trying to seek God's will. Some of you are thinking about moving out of state. Some of you are thinking about a life decision or a life direction, or you're thinking about your relationship with God. Learn this, hear this, understand this, that when you became a Christian, God put His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, inside of you, and on every decision you make, God's Holy Spirit will counsel you. He will guide you. He will direct you. He will, in fact, lead you. Amen. I was listening to Greg Laurie the other day, and he was talking about it in his house that he's in charge of anything that's mechanical. So if they need a new refrigerator, that he's the one who goes online and finds all the refrigerators, and he narrows it down to about 38, and he looks at the list, and he figures this is the best one, and that's the one he gets. But he said his wife is in charge of all the decoration in the entire house. And then from time to time, she will come and say, well, what do you think about this? And he'll say, well, here's what I think, but honey, you know, it's whatever you want. And it doesn't matter what he wants, and I've experienced this myself, it doesn't matter how I think it ought to be decorated. I can give my opinion, but it's whatever she wants is how that house is going to be decorated. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And the point that he was making was, it's just like the Holy Spirit who takes residence in your life. And many times you can say, well, this is what I want, but ultimately, Holy Spirit, it's really whatever you want, and that's how you ought to live your life. Jesus said in Luke 22, verse 42, not my will, but thine will be done. All I want you to know is that in every decision you make, ask God, and God will lead you in that decision. Number three is the Valley of Kidron, the Kidron Valley. It's also known as the Valley of the Kings. And the Kidron Valley, if you ever go to Jerusalem, and to the east, everybody say to the east, is what's called the Mount of Olives. And most photographs you've ever seen of Jerusalem were taken from up on top of Mount of Olives, looking down underneath a valley, over a valley, and looking over on the city of Jerusalem. And that valley that goes east of Jerusalem, between Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives, there's this deep valley, and there's a cemetery there. I have a picture of it for you. The cemetery is massive. Of course, Jewish people would not bury their dead inside the city walls. And so the dead are buried outside the city walls. The Kidron Valley to the east of Jerusalem is where Jewish people believe that one day the Messiah will appear for the first time. Now, those of us that are believers or Jewish believers, we believe that Jesus has already come once. We're waiting for him to come the second time. But for Jews living in Jerusalem, they believe the Messiah has never appeared. They're waiting for him, and they believe that once he does appear, that he will appear from the east, that he will raise the dead, that he will judge mankind, and that Jesus will then enter into the Temple Mount on Mount Moriah. The Kidron Valley. James is buried in the cemetery. Some say Samson is buried in the Kidron Valley. Absalom is buried there. Zechariah is buried in the Kidron Valley. The Valley of Kidron is known, write this down, as the Valley of Suffering. I will explain. Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What is the valley of the shadow of death? What is that? Well, it could be a number of things. It could be that point in your life where you think you're going to die. You ever been there where you think, I think I'm getting ready to die? You haven't died yet, but you're in the shadow of the death. Being in the shadow of the death could mean that you're literally walking along the grave site or the graveyard in the shadow of all the caskets is falling upon you, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Can you imagine the amount of suffering, not from those who died, but from whom family members have buried people in that cemetery? Whenever I drive by a cemetery, whether it's the VA cemetery down on the 405, or the Hollywood, the one over there in Hollywood, the one over here in Chatsworth. I've been with some of you as you've laid your loved ones to rest in all of these cemeteries. There's one up in Valencia by the old road. There's a cemetery up there. Whenever I drive by one of the cemeteries, I can't help but think of the grieving and the suffering of those who have laid loved ones to rest. And you multiply that suffering by the number of grave markers that you can actually see, and the amount of tears and the amount of heartache and the amount of grieving and the amount of suffering, it's beyond measure. I just want you to know that God is in the valley of Siddim, the valley of sin. He's in Eshkol, the valley of decision. But God is also in the Kidron Valley, the valley of suffering. You are not alone. Whatever you're going through, and there are many people here today, you're going through some very difficult times in your life. I just want you to know, even in the midst of your suffering, that God is there with you. He's with you. Don't ever forget that. Number four is the Valley of Elah. Everybody say Elah. The Valley of Elah is the exact place. It's the exact spot where 12-year-old David, just a little boy with a slingshot, defeated a giant from Gath named Goliath. The Valley of Elah represents the valley of the battle, where battles are fought. And I just want you to note that that every battle you face, that God is with you. Are you here today battling some sin? Is there some temptation, some addiction that you're fighting today? Are you fighting some health issue? Are you having a battle with cancer? Are you battling unemployment? Are you battling mixed emotions or some relationship that has gone sour? Are you having an attitude battle? Is there a battle being fought for your heart and for your soul? The Bible says in Ephesians 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And you're not thinking straight if you don't understand this, that all battles are truly spiritual battles. They're not physical battles, they're spiritual battles. Ephesians 6:10 says, it tells us to put on the armor of God and to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Because your power is not enough. Your strength is not enough. Your wisdom is not enough. But God's power and God's strength and God's spirit and God's wisdom is more than enough. You know, when David, just this little boy, went up to fight that Goliath, Saul, the Bible says Saul put on his armor on David. David put on that coat of Saul, and he was like a little kid. He couldn't even move. And that garment of Saul represents man's power. And David said, take that off of me. And he took that armor of Saul off, and all he had was a slingshot. But you say, well, how was he going to defeat Goliath? He had the armor of God on that day. David knew, as 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15 says, the battle's not yours, but God's. The psalmist said, I will fear no evil, for you, O God, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they will comfort me. Remember that whatever battle you're facing, that God is with you. The fifth valley is the Valley of Achor. The Valley of Achor. Everybody say Achor. This was the valley. You can read about this in Joshua chapter 7. There's a guy named Achan. Everybody say Achan. Achan stole some things, and you kind of know the story. It's kind of a long story, but God told all of Israel, when you go conquer a city, don't take anything for yourself. And one guy, Achan, stole some stuff. And the Bible says this, that God punished all of Israel because one guy did wrong. You say, that's not fair. Well, you're not God. God laid down the law. He said, don't anybody take anything. One guy messed up. And God punished all of Israel. So the Valley of Achor is where discipline happens. It's the valley of discipline. A couple weeks ago, my parents, this has not happened in years. They called me, they were driving in a car together and had me on speakerphone, and they were both in a really good mood. And they've had so much suffering in the last 4 or 5 years. It was just a delight to listen to them. And my dad says, son, your mom and I are driving here, we just had a question for you. What's that, Dad? He said, do you ever remember us spanking you? We're just sitting here. We can't remember ever spanking you. And it's just, my dad's losing his mind. I said, Dad, are you serious? He goes, yeah. He goes, I go, Dad, you spanked us all the time. And Mom goes, well, Dudley, I don't ever remember. I said, Mom, you spanked us all the time. And my dad said this. He said, well, son, can you give us one example? I said, Dad, are you serious? He goes, yeah, if you could just tell us one example. And I remember this, and I've told this story before, but we were, at one time, four of us, it was five kids, but at one time, four of us were all going to the same school, elementary school. And not junior high, not high school, it was elementary school. And we walked like 2 miles. Yes, we walked in the snow. We crossed a major street like Rinaldi, busier than Rinaldi. It was the main highway going through Wichita. There was no cross guard. It was like playing Froggy every day. And our parents didn't care. They just, it's time to go to school, and they shoved us out the door, and we somehow got to school every day, and we got home every day. Does anybody remember those days? Those were the good old days. And evidently, when school was out, we would play games all the way home. In people's yards, they didn't have fences back in those days. We'd be in people's backyards or front yards. We'd be throwing stuff over the house, all kinds of crazy stuff. And obviously, someone in the neighborhood got upset and complained to the school. So the school sent an edict out that said, please keep your children on the sidewalks coming to and from school. And so Dad sat all four of us kids down, and he said this to us. He said, if any of the four of you get off the sidewalk, I'm going to spank all four of you. It's like the story of Achan. Well, when God said that, my dad said that, for me, that meant to walk all the way home in the middle of the sidewalk. But for my brother, Dino, it meant to see if he could get all the way home without even touching the sidewalk. And sure enough, I said, Dad, when we got home, you spanked all four of us. I said, Dad, you spanked me, and I didn't even do anything wrong. He said, no, you did do something wrong. I go, what? He goes, you didn't keep your brother on the sidewalk. I said, Dad, that's not my fault. You and all your spankings couldn't keep my brother on the sidewalk. But I just want you to know that Dad would lay down the rules, and if any of us kids broke the rules, we were always disciplined. But the older we got, the more mature we became, we realized that our father's discipline was simply because he loved us. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, the Lord disciplines those that he loves. Whenever you're disciplined by God, listen, don't think that God has turned his back on you. God has 1,000 different ways to discipline us. But remember, even in the valley of Achor, even in the valley of discipline, the Lord is there. There's a box in your notes. I want to go through this as quickly as I can. So write as quickly as you can about valleys. First of all, valleys are inevitable. You can't live life without ever getting in a valley. You're going to be in a valley. It's inevitable. Jesus said in John 16, in this world you will have trouble. This goes against health and wealth and prosperity preachers. It says if you live in this world, you're going to go through some difficult times. Number two, valleys are unpredictable. You never know when they're going to hit. Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 20, he said, in an instant, my tents were all destroyed. They just happened. Life happens. Number three, valleys are impartial. Because the Bible says the sun rises on the evil and the good, and the rain falls on the just and the unjust. So don't complain that bad things are happening to you. Valleys are inevitable. They're unpredictable. They are impartial. But number four, this is most important. Valleys are temporary. Again, even though I walk through the valley, no valley is permanent. I want to say that to you again. No valley is permanent. Some of you are in the valley right now and you think you're just going to live the rest of your life. Like, no. Most of the time when people come, oh, we got to talk, can we talk? I have to talk. Okay, we'll talk. They give us all these problems. I know those words are coming out of your mouth in about 6 months, that won't even be a problem anymore in your life. And it's true. You struggle, but there's a period of time that goes by. It's different periods of time, but eventually all of us get through that period of time and that struggle is solved. Don't live your life thinking that you were destined for the valleys. The valleys are your period of drawing near to God before He brings you to the next mountaintop. Can someone say amen? Amen. And my last valley is the valley of Jezreel. Everybody said Jezreel. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, things are getting ready to get Jezreel. Turn to your neighbor and say, things are getting to be Jezreel's good. One of the most important valleys in the entire Word of God is the Valley of Jezreel. It's a place called, it's a place near a tell called Megiddo, Mount Megiddo. It's a tell. I actually have a picture of this valley. This is the Valley of Jezreel. It's the place of the last great battle called the Battle of Armageddon that will be fought by the kings of the earth. According to Revelation chapter 16:16, it's a place where the Antichrist will rise up and attempt to conquer the entire world, and Satan will attempt to become king of the world. But the Valley of Jezreel is where the Lord Himself will descend from heaven, and He will come riding in on a white horse, and He will wear the name King of all kings and Lord of all lords, and we shall reign with Him forever. So the Valley of Jezreel, write this down, is where victory comes. It's the place where the last battle will be fought. And Christ will reign for all of eternity. And it reminds us that whatever valley you find yourself in today, and again, just to review, your valleys are inevitable, they're unpredictable, they're impartial, but they are all just temporary. Donald Barnhouse was a pastor in a large church in Philadelphia, and his wife died and left him to raise two young girls. He actually conducted his own wife's funeral. Very difficult. He realized that he had to say something to comfort his daughters, to put things in perspective for his daughters, something that he himself was struggling with already. And they were actually on the way to the funeral. And as he was driving, his car came to a stoplight. The sun was shining. And as they waited at that light, this big truck pulled up next to him, and the shadow of the truck darkened the inside of his car. And he turned to his girls and he said, girls, I want to ask you a question. He asked, what would you rather be hit by? A truck or a shadow of a truck? Oh, Daddy, that's a silly question. The shadow can't hurt you. The shadow can't hurt you. And indeed, every valley you face is only a shadow. They can't really hurt you, can they? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. True security is not found in the absence of pain, but rather in the presence of the shepherd. This is true not just theologically, that's true not just scripturally, but it's true experientially. Hindsight is always 20/20, isn't it? Isn't it when you look back over your life and you see yourself on the mountains and in the valleys and in the mountains and the valleys, as you look back, don't you see where every time you were in a valley that God was with you? And yet, you see it when you look backwards, but when you're in the midst of it right here, right now, you can't, where's, like, where's God? Well, you, which is it? I was 8 years of age, which was a long time ago, when I gave my life to Christ. Just an eight-year-old boy walked down an aisle on a Sunday morning and was baptized by my dad. And since that day till today, God has been with me every step of the way. When I was a teenager struggling with my faith, He was there. When I was in college and I was a million miles away from home, He was there. When I was a young man trying to figure out how to be a husband and a father, He was there. And when I pastored my first church and got ran out of the church, for being bold, He was there. When we merged two churches of two different denominational backgrounds, He was there. And when my sister lost her four-year-old son to cancer, God was there. And when my brother was recently diagnosed with a rare form of bone cancer, God was there. And today, this very moment, while my father is in a hospital room and my wife's father is in another hospital in the Midwest, God is still here. I do not know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. Let's stand and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Oh, Father God, today people all over this room are going through difficult times. People here today who are struggling. People here today, some who feel like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. And I hope they hear those words, yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that I have nothing to fear, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Life is not found in the absence of pain. It's found in the presence of the Shepherd. And for anyone here today, God, who does not know the Shepherd, I pray that they would come today and surrender their life unto Yours. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen.